This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
After a moment in which the distress was palpable between them, Ran faked a gasp. "I'm so sorry," he said, picking the last bit of meat from the bones. "Have I stumbled upon a honeymoon? What a lucky man you are." His face taunted as he pushed the shredded meat into his mouth. Wolf curled his fingers into the sand. Squinting at the man through the haze of smoke and heat, Scarlet leaned forward. "Is it my imagination, or do you two know each other?" Neither denied it. Wolf's focus was pinned to Ran, a twitch away from attacking him. Suspicion sliced through Scarlet's thoughts, and she gripped the gun. "Roll up your sleeve." "I beg your pardon," said Ran, licking the juices as they dripped down his wrist. Clambering to her feet, she leveled the barrel at him. "Now!" He hesitated only a moment. Expression unreadable, he reached for his left wrist and rolled the sleeve past his elbow. LSOP1126 was tattooed across the muscle of his forearm. Anger boiled up inside Scarlet, every bit as hot as the coals beneath the fire. "Why didn't you tell me he was one of them?" she hissed, without taking her focus or the gun off the tattoo. For the first time, Rand's composure stiffened. "I was hoping to determine why he's here and why he approached you on the train without alarming you," said Wolf. "Scarlet, this is Ran Kesley, a loyal soldier to the Order of the Pack. Don't worry, he's only an Omega." Ran's nose wrinkled at what Scarlet could tell had been a low insult. She swapped her attention between the two. "You could smell him on me," she said. "When I came back to the car, you knew, and you knew he was following us all this time. How?" She gaped at Wolf. The unnatural eyes, the uncanny senses, the teeth, the howls. The idea that he'd never had a tomato before. "Who are you people?" Hurt flinched across Wolf's face, but it was Ran who spoke. "What exactly have you told her, brother?" Wolf stood, forcing Ran to tilt back his head to hold his stare. "She knows I'm no longer a brother to you," he said, "and she knows that no one with that mark can be trusted." Ran smiled at the irony. "Is that all?" "I know you have my grandmother," she yelled, startling a flock of swallows out of the nearest tree. Once their flapping had gone quiet, the woods settled into a thick hush, Scarlet's words still ringing. Her hand started to shake, and she forced it to be still, though Ran continued to sit sprawled and at ease on the shore. "You have my grandmother," she said, more slowly this time. "Don't you?" "Well, not with me." White sparks flashed across Scarlet's vision, and it took all her willpower not to pull the trigger and erase his spunkness. "Why are you following us?" she said, when the throbbing rage had become a manageable simmer. She could see him calculating his response. Planting his palm on the rocky shore, Ran pushed himself to standing and brushed the dirt from his hands. "I've been sent to retrieve my brother," he said, as casual as he had been sent to the store for milk and bread. "Perhaps he did not tell you that he and I are part of an elite pack given a special assignment. That assignment has been canceled, and Master Jael wants us to return, all of us." Scarlet's stomach tightened at Rand's meaningful look, but Wolf's expression was filled with more distrust and shadows than it had ever been. "I'm not coming back," he said. "Jael no longer controls me." Ran sniffed. "I doubt that, and you know as well as anyone that we don't allow our brothers to leave us." He rolled his sleeves down over the tattoo. "Though I confess, I haven't missed having one less alpha around." The wind shifted, sending sparks from the fire into Scarlet's face, and she stumbled back, blinking them away. "Do you really think it was wise to come here without Jael to protect you?" said Wolf. "I don't need Jael's protection." "That would be a first." With a snarl, Rand leaped forward, but Wolf danced out of his reach and retaliated with a fist aimed at Rand's jaw. Rand blocked, grasping Wolf's fist and using the momentum to spin Wolf around and lock his elbow around Wolf's neck. Wolf reached back, grasped Rand's shoulder, and flipped Rand over his head. Rand landed with a solid grunt, his feet smacking the water. He was up again in a blink. Scarlet's hand trembled, the gun dancing between the two, her pulse galloping. Rand was shaking with smothered rage while Wolf was carved from rock, shrewd and calculating. "I really do think it's time for you to return, brother," Rand said through clenched teeth. Wolf shook his head, damp spikes of hair flopping onto his forehead. "You never were a match for me. I think you'll find me somewhat improved, Alpha." Wolf snorted, and Scarlet sensed he didn't believe Rand could ever be a genuine opponent. "Is this why you followed us? You saw your chance to improve your rank, to defeat me away from the pack? I told you why I'm here. Jael sent for you. The assignment is canceled when he finds out about this rebellion of yours." Wolf launched at Rand, knocking him onto his back. Rand's head landed in the water, and Scarlet heard a sickening crunch as it collided with the hard stones beneath the surface. She screamed and ran toward them, digging her nails into Wolf's arm. "No, stop! He might be able to tell us something!" Wolf's sharp canines were bared as he pulled a fist back and landed a punch to Rand's face. "Wolf, stop it, my grandmother. He knows about. Wolf, let him go." When he didn't relent, Scarlet fired a warning shot into the air. The echo filled the clearing, but Wolf was unfazed. Rand's arm stopped flailing, slipped weakly down Wolf's forearms, and dropped into the water. "You're going to kill him," she shrieked. "Wolf, Wolf!" As a last burst of bubbles rose up from Rand's mouth, Scarlet stepped back, let out a breath, and pulled the trigger again. Wolf hissed and fell onto his side. He clasped his hand over his left arm, where blood was already seeping into the cloth of his sleeve. But it wasn't a deep wound. The bullet had barely grazed him. He blinked up at Scarlet. "Did you just shoot me? You didn't leave me much choice." With ringing ears, Scarlet fell to her knees and heaved Rand up by his shoulders, laying him back down at an awkward angle on the shore. He rolled onto his side, left eye already swelling shut, and watered down blood dripping down his nose and jaw. With a rattling cough, more blood and water spilled out of his mouth, puddling onto the sand. Releasing a strangled breath, Scarlet glanced back up at Wolf. He hadn't moved, but his expression had shed the maniacal anger for something akin to admiration. "When you greeted me with a gun on your doorstep," he said, "it's nice to know you meant it." Scarlet scowled at him. "Honestly, Wolf, what are you thinking? He could tell us something. He could help get my grandma back." His half-smile softened, and for a moment he looked sorry. "For her. He won't talk." "How do you know?" "I know." "That's not a good enough answer." "Watch your gun." "What?" She dropped her gaze to the shore beside her, just in time to see Rand wrap his fingers around the gun's handle. She grasped the barrel and snatched it away from him. An exhausted chuckle brought more bloodied spittle to Rand's lips. "I will kill you one day, brother, if Jael does it first." "Stop provoking him!" Scarlet yelled. Climbing to her feet, out of Rand's reach, she reset the safety and shoved the gun back into the waist of her jeans. "You're not exactly in any position to be making threats right now, anyway." Rand said nothing. His eyes had closed, his lips left hanging open with a smear of blood on his cheek, taking in slow, rattling breaths. Disgusted, she turned back to Wolf, watching as he peeled his hand away from his wound and stared with surprise at the blood coating his palm. He leaned over on his elbow and swished his hand around in the water to get the stain off. With a sigh, she scrambled to her forgotten bag and pulled out a small first aid kit. Wolf didn't argue as she ripped open the tear in his sleeve caused by the bullet and took over the job of washing and bandaging the wound. The bullet had just grazed his bicep. "I'm sorry I shot you," she said, "but you were going to kill him." "I still might," Wolf said, watching her hands. She shook her head, taping off the bandage. "He's not your real brother, is he? That's just a gang thing, isn't it?" Wolf grunted, said nothing. "Wolf? I never said we got along." Scarlet peered up at the wild contempt filling Wolf's face. His green eyes were burning, staring at Rand's prone body behind her. "Good." The ferocity in her voice startled away some of his hatred, and Wolf turned his attention back to her. "You must know his weaknesses. You'll know how best to question him." That sympathetic look again. "We're trained to withstand questioning. He won't help us." "But he already gave us some information." Packing up the remains of the kit, she tossed it toward her bag. It missed the opening and slid down to the ground. "He obviously knew something when I asked about my grandma. Then this assignment that was canceled. What's that about? Does it have something to do with her?" Wolf shook his head, but she detected a clouding in his eyes. "He told us what he wanted us, me, to know or to believe. I wouldn't put stock in any of it." "How can you be so sure?" His fingers started up again. "Clench, release, clench. I know Ran. He would do anything to improve his standing. By tracking me down and forcing me to return, or even showing proof that he'd fought me and won, he'd hope to do just that. As for the assignment I'd been part of when I left, they wouldn't cancel it. It was too important to them." "What about my grandmother?" He shook off a troubled frown. "Right. We should keep moving." He tested the strength in his injured arm before using it to push himself to his feet. The fire had burned down to smoldering coals, and soon he had stamped them out, ignoring the duck breast that had shriveled up into a chunk of coal. "That's not what I meant," said Scarlet, staying put on the shore. "Shouldn't we at least try to question him?" "Scarlet, listen to me. Does he know something that would help? Yes, probably. But he won't give it to us. Unless you plan on torturing it out of him. And even then, there's nothing you could do that would frighten him more than what the pack will do if he talks. We already know where your grandmother is. Dealing with him is a waste of time." "What if we brought him with us and offered him as a trade?" she suggested, watching as Wolf reloaded their bag. Wolf laughed. "A trade? For an Omega?" He gestured at Ram. "He's worth nothing." Though his temper could be heard just beneath the surface, Scarlet was glad that the temporary insanity was gone from his eyes. "He'll go back to them," she said, "and tell them you're with me." "Doesn't matter." Slinging the pack across his shoulder, Wolf spared a final scornful look at his brother. "We'll get there before he does." Chapter 22. Night crept up fast. The forest leaned in toward them, a solid wall of shadows beneath the dim spotlight of a waning moon. They'd passed only one junction and continued wordlessly north. Seeing another set of tracks combining with theirs had given Scarlet a beat of hope. At least now there was a chance of crossing paths with a new train. But the maglev tracks remained silent. Scarlet's port screen light was enough to see by for a time, but she worried about killing the battery and knew they should probably stop soon. Wolf was no longer looking back every few minutes, and Scarlet suspected he'd known they were being followed all along. Wolf stopped suddenly, and Scarlet's heart leaped. For a moment, sure he'd heard wolves again. "Here, this will work." He peered upward at a log that had fallen across the embankments on either side of them, creating a bridge over the tracks. "What do you think?" Scarlet followed him through the waist-high brush. "I thought maybe you were kidding before. You really think you can jump onto a moving train from there?" he nodded, without breaking a leg or anything else. He met her speculative look with a hint of arrogance. She shrugged. Anything to be out of these woods. The ledge was a few feet over her head, but she clambered up with little trouble, grasping onto roots and jutting rocks. She heard a hiss from below and turned to see a shot of pain cross Wolf's face as he hauled himself up after her. She held her breath, feeling guilty as he dusted off his hands. "Let me see," she said, grasping Wolf's forearm and holding up her port screen to shine a light on the bandage. No blood had leaked through yet. "I really am sorry about shooting you." "Are you?" Her touch lingered as it reached the end of the bandage, checking that it was still securely tied. "What does that mean?" "I suspect you would shoot me all over again if you thought it would help your grandmother." She blinked up at him, almost surprised to discover how close they were standing. "I would," she said, "but that doesn't mean I wouldn't be sorry about it afterward." "I'm just glad you didn't take my advice and shoot me in the head," he said, his teeth showing in the port screen's brightness. His fingers barely fluttered across her sweater's pocket, making her jump. Then his fingers were gone, and Wolf was squinting against the bright light of the port screen. "Sorry," Scarlet stammered, angling it toward the ground. Wolf moved around her, pressing on the fallen log with his foot. "It appears trustworthy." Scarlet discovered a strange irony in his choice of words. "Wolf?" she said, testing the way her voice echoed in the forest emptiness. He stiffened, though he didn't turn around. "When you first told me about leaving the pack, I thought maybe it had been months or even years, but Rand made it sound like you just left." One hand came up to ruffle his hair as he turned back toward her. "Wolf?" "It's been 3 weeks," he whispered. Then, "less than 3 weeks." She sucked in a breath, held it, released it all at once. "About the time my grandmother disappeared." He ducked his head, unable to meet her gaze. Scarlet shivered. "You told me that you were a nobody, barely more than an errand boy. But Rand called you an alpha. Isn't that a pretty high rank?" She saw his chest rise with a slow, tense breath. "And now you tell me that you left them around the same time my grandmother was kidnapped." He rubbed absently at the tattoo, still saying nothing. Scarlet waited, blood beginning to simmer, until he dared look at her. The port screen cast a wash of bluish-white light at their feet, but it did little to illuminate him. In the dark, she could see only the vaguest outline of his cheekbones and jaw, his hair like a clump of pine needles sticking out from his scalp. "You told me that you had no idea why they would take my grandmother, but that was a lie, wasn't it?" "Scarlet, so what was true? Did you really leave them, or is it this all a story to get me to—" Gasping, she stumbled back, her thoughts turned, a cascade of doubts and questions rushing through them. "Am I the mission that Rand was talking about, the one that was supposedly canceled?" "No. And after my dad warned me about this, he said one of you would come for me, and there you were. And I even knew you were one of them. I knew I couldn't trust you, and still I let myself believe." "Scarlet, stop." She wrapped her fist around her hood's cords, tightening them against her throat. Her heart was pulsating now, blood running hot beneath her skin. She heard Wolf inhale, saw his hands spread out in a beam of the port screen. "You're right. I'd lied to you about not knowing why they took your grandmother. But you aren't the mission that Rand was talking about." She tilted the port upward, shining it into his face. Wolf flinched, but didn't look away. "But it has something to do with my grandmother." "It has everything to do with your grandmother." She bit down hard on her lower lip, trying to still the tide of rage rising inside her. "I'm sorry. I knew that if I told you, you wouldn't trust me. I know I should have had anyway, but I couldn't." The hand holding her port began to shake. "Tell me everything." There was a long pause. a sickeningly long pause. "You're going to despise me," he murmured, his chest sank in, trying to make himself small again, like he had in the alleyway in the headlights of her ship. Scarlet pressed her hands so hard onto her hips, her bones began to ache. "Ran and I were both in the pack, sent to retrieve your grandmother." Scarlet's stomach curdled. The pack sent to retrieve her. "I wasn't with them when she was taken," he added quickly. "As soon as we arrived in Rear, I saw my chance to escape. I knew I could disappear there without the grid of the city to find me. So I took it. That was the morning she was taken." He crossed his arms like he was protecting himself from her hatred. "I could have stopped them. I was stronger than all of them. I could have kept it from happening. I could have warned her or you, but I didn't. I just ran." Scarlet's eyes started to burn. Inhaling sharply, she turned her back on him, tilting her head up toward the black sky to keep the sudden tears in without having to swipe at them. She waited until she was sure she could speak before pivoting back toward him. "That's when you started going to the fights and the tavern," he said with a nod. "And then what? You felt guilty, so you thought you'd follow me around for a while? Maybe help out on the farm like that would make up for it?" He winced. "Of course not. I knew that getting mixed up with you would be suicide, that eventually they would find me if I didn't leave Ryu. But you, he seemed frustrated with the words that wouldn't come. "I couldn't just leave." Scarlet heard the crunch of plastic and forced her grip to loosen on the port screen. "Why did they take her? What do they want with her?" He opened his mouth, but was silent. Scarlet raised both eyebrows. Her pulse was thundering. "Well?" "They're trying to find Princess Selene." The ringing in her ears made her think for a moment she hadn't heard him correctly. "They're trying to find who?" "The Lunar Princess Selene." She drew back. It occurred to her that maybe Wolf was playing some kind of cruel joke, but his expression was too serious, too horrified. "What?" He started to sway uncomfortably from foot to foot. "They've been searching for the princess for years, and they believe your grandmother has information on her whereabouts." Scarlet squinted at him, baffled, sure she misunderstood, sure he was mistaken. But Wolf's attention held her, penetrating and sure. "Why would my grandmother?" She shook her head. "The Lunar Princess is dead." "There's evidence that she survived the fire, and that someone rescued her and brought her to Earth," said Wolf. "And Scarlet, what? Are you sure your grandma doesn't know anything?" Her jaw hung for so long, her tongue turned dry and sticky in her mouth. "She's a farmer. She lived in France her whole life. How does she know anything?" "She was in the military before she was a farmer. She traveled then. That was over 20 years ago. How long has the princess been missing? 10, 15 years? That doesn't even make sense." "You can't discount it." "Sure I can. What if she does know something?" She frowned, but her disbelief faded upon seeing Wolf's growing desperation. "Scarlet," he said, "Ran said that the assignment had been called off. He could only have meant the search for the princess. I can't imagine why, after so many years, but if it's true, then it may mean they have no more use of your grandmother." A pang in her stomach. So they would let her go? Wrinkles formed around Wolf's lips, and a weight dropped onto Scarlet's chest. He didn't need to speak for her to see his answer. "No, no, they would not let her go." She sucked in a dizzying breath, dropping her attention to the streaks of moonlight on the tracks below. "If I had known, if I'd met you before, I want to help you, Scarlet. I want to try and make this better. But they want information that I don't have. The best thing for your grandmother is to be useful. Even if they have stopped looking for Selene, there may still be something she knows, or something in her past, anything that would make her valuable to them. That's why, if there's anything you know any information you have. It's the best chance you have of saving her. You can barter for her. Give them the information they want. Her frustration nearly enveloped her. I don't know what they want. Think, has there ever been anything suspicious, anything your grandma had said or done that struck you as peculiar? She does peculiar things all the time. That's related to Lunars or the princess? No, she paused. I mean, she's always been more sympathetic to them than most people. She's not quick to judge. What else? Nothing. Nothing else. She has nothing to do with the Lunars. There's evidence that that's not true. What evidence? What are you talking about? Wolf scratched at his hair. She must have told you that she's been to Luna. Scarlet pressed her palms against her eyelids, sucking in a shaky breath. You're insane. Why would my grandmother have ever gone to Luna? She was part of the only diplomatic mission to be sent from Earth to Luna in the last 50 years. She was the pilot that brought the Earthen officials. The visit lasted almost 2 weeks, so she must have had some interaction with Lunars. He frowned. She never told you any of this? No. No, she never told me any of this. When was this? Wolf looked away, and she could see his hesitation. Wolf, when was this? He gulped. 40 years ago, he said, his tone going quiet again. 9 months before your father was born. Chapter 23. The world spun. Scarlet searched Wolf's face for a joke that never came. My father? I'm sorry, he murmured. I thought she must have told you something about this. But how do you know all this? It all ties back to the princess. Evidence suggests she was taken off Luna by a man named Logan Tanner, a doctor. He searched her for some recognition, but the name meant nothing to Scarlet. Wolf continued, the only Earthens Dr. Tanner would have had contact with prior to taking the princess were those who had been on the same mission as your grandmother. People who knew him suspected that Dr. Tanner had had a liaison with Michelle Benoit during her stay. Those theories became more plausible when we learned that Michelle had given birth to a son with no record of the father. 9 months later, unable to stay standing, Scarlet sank to the ground. If Wolf was telling the truth, if these theories were correct, then her grandfather was Lunar. A flurry of thoughts passed before her. Clues she'd never known she was collecting settled into place. Why her grandma was so sympathetic to Lunars, why she never talked about Scarlet's grandfather, why she insisted that neither Scarlet nor her father be born in a hospital. The mandatory blood test would have shown their ancestry. How could she have kept it secret for so long? It occurred to her with a jolt that it was always her grandmother's intention to keep it a secret. She had never meant to tell Scarlet the truth to begin with. Something so big, something so important, and her grandma had kept it from her. We don't keep secrets, she whispered to herself, head sinking as tears started to well in her eyes again. We don't keep secrets from each other. I'm sorry, said Wolf, kneeling before her. I thought for sure you would have known about this. I didn't, she rubbed the tears away. Why wouldn't her grandmother have told her about this Logan Tanner? Was it to protect her from the distrust and prejudice that could come from being part Lunar? Or was there something else, an even more unlikely secret she'd been protecting? Her chest ached as she wondered how many secrets had been kept from her. Wolf's attention darted to the south, one ear cocked to the sky. Instantly, Scarlet's thoughts settled. She listened. But there was only a breeze in the forest, a charming chorus of crickets. Though she heard nothing, Wolf whispered, "A train is coming." He fixated on her again, concerned etched across his brow. She could see that he believed he said too much, but she thirsted for more. With a nod, she planted a hand on the ground and pushed herself to standing. And these people think my grandmother knows something about the princess because? Wolf skirted to the edge of the short cliff, peering off down the rails. They believe Dr. Tanner asked your grandmother for assistance when he brought the princess to Earth. They believe, but they can't know that for sure. Perhaps not, but that's why they took her, he said, testing the fallen log with his foot again, to find out what she knew. And did they ever consider that maybe she doesn't know anything? They're convinced that she does, or at least they were when I left them, though I don't know what they've learned since. Well, why don't they find this Dr. Tanner and ask him? Wolf clenched his jaw. Because he's dead. Stooping, he grabbed their forgotten pack and draped it over his elbow. He killed himself earlier this year in an insane asylum in the Eastern Commonwealth. Some of Scarlet's anger fizzled out, replaced with pity for a man who had not existed to her minutes before. An asylum? He was a patient there, self-admitted. How? He was Lunar. Why wasn't he captured and sent back to Luna? He must have figured out how to blend in with Earth in society. Wolf held out his hand, and Scarlet took it instinctively, starting when his hot fingers enclosed hers. After a heartbeat, his hold relaxed as he stepped out onto the tree trunk. Scarlet angled her port screen toward their treacherous footings and struggled to find her train of thought over the pounding in her ears. There must be someone else he had contact with on Earth. The trail can't end with my grandmother. According to my dad, she hadn't told them anything after weeks of who knows what they've been doing to her. They must realize they've got the wrong person. There was a peculiar restraint when Wolf responded. Are you sure they have? She glared. The Lunar Air was a myth, a conspiracy, a legend. How could her diligent, proud grandmother, living in a small town Ryu, possibly be involved? But she couldn't be entirely sure of anything anymore. Not if her grandmother had kept something so big from her already. A faint hum cut through the forest whispers, the magnets waking up. A squeeze of her fingers sent a shock up Scarlet's spine. Scarlet, said Wolf, it's in her best interest and yours to give them something. Please think. If you know anything at all, we may be able to use it to our advantage. About Princess Selene, he nodded. I don't know anything, Scarlet shrugged, helpless. I don't know anything. She felt captured beneath his stare until, with a deep frown, he released her. His hands slipped away, hanging at his sides. It's all right. We'll figure out something else. Scarlet knew he was wrong. It wasn't all right. These monsters were chasing a ghost, and her grandma was caught in the middle of it, all because of some fling that had allegedly happened 40 years ago, and there was nothing Scarlet could do. She glanced down. Her stomach flipped at seeing how high up they were. With the encroaching darkness, it felt like she was standing at the edge of an abyss. We have maybe 30 seconds, said Wolf. Once it's here, we'll need to act fast. No hesitation. Can you do that? Scarlet tried to wet her parched tongue, but it was as dry as the crackled bark beneath her. She tried to calm her heartbeat. Seconds were counting off in her head, going by too fast. The magnets were growing louder. She heard the whistle of air down the tracks. You're going to let me jump on my own this time? She asked, spotting a bright glow around the nearest bend. Lights blared across the treetops, echoing endlessly through the gathered trunks. The magnets directly beneath them crackled. Do you want to jump on your own? He set the bag between them. Scarlet studied the tracks, imagining a racing train beneath them. Subtle vibrations tickled her feet. Her knees seized up. She tossed the port screen into the bag and stepped onto a knot that protruded from the trunk. Turn around. He started to grin, but there was still a crease between his eyebrows, a lingering distraction. He let her climb onto his back, hitching her legs higher until she had a firm grip around him. Tying her arms around Wolf's shoulders, it occurred to Scarlet that she had every right to despise him. He'd had the chance to rescue her grandmother, but he'd run away instead. He'd lied to her and kept these enormous secrets that she had every right to know. But that didn't change the fact that he was still here, still risking his life and facing his own tormentors to help her, still taking her to find her grandmother. Biting her lips, she leaned forward. "I'm glad you told me everything." His body seemed to deflate beneath her. "I should have told you sooner." "Yes, you should have." She tilted her head, temple to temple. "But I still don't despise you." She swept a kiss against his cheek and felt his body lock up. His heartbeat thundered against her wrist as she clasped her hands together. The train rounded the corner, smooth as a snake. Its glossy white body rushed toward them, the vacuum creating a gust of wind that buffeted the trees to either side of the gully. Peeling her head off Wolf's shoulder, Scarlet glanced aside at him, noticed yet another scar, this one on his neck. Unlike the others, it was small and perfectly straight, more the work of a scalpel than a brawl. Then Wolf was crouching, and her heart jumped, tearing her attention back to the train. Wolf braced his hands on the bag. His muscles were still rigid, his pulse galloping, and she couldn't help but contrast it with the uncanny calm he'd had when they jumped out of the train window before. Then the train was beneath them, shaking the log and rattling Scarlet's teeth. Wolf shoved the bag off the trunk and leaped. Digging her nails into Wolf's shirt, Scarlet clenched her jaw against a scream. They landed heavily on the glass-smooth roof, the levitating train barely dipping from the impact, and Scarlet felt it instantly. The wrongness. Wolf slipped, his shoulders tilting too heavy to the left, his balance rocking beneath her weight. Scarlet cried out, the momentum of the jump sending her spinning away from him toward the edge. She dug her fingernails into his shoulders, but his shirt ripped out from beneath her, and then she was falling, the world tumbling around her. A hand gripped her wrist. Her fall stopped with a painful yank on her shoulder. She screamed, thrashing her feet as the ground whipped by beneath her. Blinded by the wind-thrown hair in her face, she flailed her free hand up toward him and grasped onto his forearm, squeezing as desperately as she could with slick fingers. She heard his grunt, bordering on a roar, and felt herself being hauled up. She beat her feet against the train's side, struggling for any traction, before she was heaved onto the roof. Wolf rolled her away from the edge, landing on top of her. His hands hastily brushed the curls from her face, gripped her shoulders, rubbed her bruised wrist, every ounce of his frenetic energy devoted to checking that she was there, that she was all right. "I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. I lost focus, I slipped. I'm sorry, Scarlet. Are you all right?" Her breath shuddered. The world slowly stopped spinning, but every nerve hummed with the rush of adrenaline, every bit of her trembling down to her core. Gaping up at Wolf, she wrapped her fingers around his, stilling them. "I'm all right," she panted, attempting a weary smile. He didn't return the look. His eyes were full of horror. "I may have pulled something in my shoulder, but..." She paused, noticing a splotch of red on Wolf's bandage. He'd caught her with his injured arm, reopening the wound. "You're bleeding." She reached for the bandage, but he caught her hand, gripping it almost too tight. Scarlet found herself pinned beneath his gaze, intense and terrified. He was still breathing hard. She was still shaking, couldn't stop shaking. Her mind emptied of everything but the gusting wind, and how fragile Wolf looked in that heartbeat, like one movement could break him open. "I'm all right," she assured him again, wrapping her free arm around his back and pulling him toward her until she could curl up beneath the shelter of his body, burying her head against his neck. She felt his gulp, then his arms were around her, crushing her against his chest. The train angled toward the west, the forest blurring on either side of them. It seemed ages before the adrenaline drained out of Scarlett's limbs, before she could breathe without her lungs hiccuping at the effort. Wolf's embrace never relaxed. The sensation of his breath against her ear, the only proof he was living flesh, not stone. When finally she had stopped trembling, Scarlett peeled herself away from him. The vice of his arms reluctantly let her go, and she dared to meet his gaze again. The shocked horror had left him, replaced with heat and longing and uncertainty and fear, so much fear. But she didn't think it had anything to do with her nearly falling off the train. Lips tingling, she arched her neck toward him. But then he was pulling away from her, the space between them filling with harsh, cold wind. "We need to get down before we run into any tunnels," he said, his voice shaky and rough. Scarlett sat up, heat rushing to her face as she was struck with an almost irresistible yearning to crawl towards him, not to get off the train's roof, but to be wrapped up against him again, to feel warm and safe and content just for another moment. She smashed the desire down into her gut. Wolf wasn't looking at her, and she knew he was right. They weren't safe up here. Not trusting herself to stand, she half slid, half crawled toward the front of the car, adjusting to the subtle movements of the train. Wolf hovered by her side, not touching her, but never too far to grab her should she get too close to the ledge. When they reached the end, Wolf swung himself down onto the platform between the cars. Scarlett peered down after him and spotted the bag at his feet. She'd all but forgotten it, but now a surprised laugh fell out of her. His aim had been perfect. And perhaps if she hadn't kissed his cheek right before the jump, his balance would have been too. Her nerves fluttered at the thought, wondering if she had been the cause of his distraction. She sat down with her legs dangling over the side. "Show off," she said, reaching out and letting him catch her as she jumped down. His hands were achingly gentle as he lowered her to the platform and lingered a second too long after her feet were firmly planted, or not nearly long enough. His expression had become haunted and confused, his brow tense. Without meeting her gaze, he grabbed the bag and disappeared into the car. Scarlett gaped at the doorway, waiting for the gusty wind to take down her temperature, burningly aware of the memory of his hands on her waist, her shoulders, her wrists. Her head was too full of the memory, the too recent agony of wanting to kiss him. Slumping against the rail, she tucked her hair into the hood. She dimly tried to tell herself it was a good thing Wolf had pulled away. She was always rushing into things without thinking them through, and it always got her into trouble. This was just one more example of her emotions carrying her away, all over a guy she'd known for only... She strained to count back and realized with some shock they'd barely known each other for a day. Only a day? Could that be right? Had that awful street fight happened just the night before? Had her father's fit in the hangar been only that morning? But even knowing that, her feelings didn't change. Her skin didn't cool. The fantasy of being tucked in his arms didn't fade. She wanted him to kiss him. She still did. She let out a sigh, and when her legs were solid again, ducked into the car. It was a storage car, wide open and stacked with plastic shipping crates. A square of moonlight fell in through the open doorway. Wolf had climbed onto a stack of crates and was busy shuffling them around to make more room. Scarlett climbed up to join him. Though the silence was painful, anything she could think to say sounded trite and artificial. Instead, she pulled a comb out of her bag and started picking the knots out of her wind-blown curls. Finally, Wolf stopped shifting crates and sat down beside her, legs folded, hands gripped in his lap, shoulders hunched, not touching her. Scarlet scrutinized him from the corner of her eye, tempted to close the gap between them, even just to rest her head onto his shoulder. Instead, she reached out and traced a finger across the tattoo that she could make out in the dimness. He went rigid. Was Rand telling the truth? Do you think they'll kill you for leaving them? A momentary silence had her pulse pounding in her fingertip against his arm. No, he said finally, you don't have to worry about me. She trailed her finger down a long scar that had once been a gash from wrist to elbow. I'll stop worrying when this is all over, when we're all safely away from them. His eyes flicked to hers, then down to the scar, and her fingers resting on his wrist. What's this scar from? She asked. One of the fights? His head shifted, almost imperceptibly. Stupidity. Chewing her lips, she inched closer and grazed a fainter scar across his temple. How about this one? He ducked back, forced to lift his head to pull away from her. That was a bad one, he said, but didn't elaborate. Scarlet hummed thoughtfully, then dragged her knuckle against the tiniest scar on his lip. What about? His hand snatched her, stilling her caresses. His grip was not harsh, but unforgiving all the same. Please stop, he said, even as his gaze fell to her lips. Scarlet licked them instinctively, saw his eyes grow frantic. What's wrong? A heartbeat. Wolf? He didn't release her. Scarlet reached her other hand toward him, brushing her thumb over his knuckles. He sucked in a quick breath. Her fingers traveled up his arm, along the bandage and its spot of dried blood. He was taut as a bowstring, plastered against the wall. The fingers grasping her hand twitched. They're what I'm used to, he said, his voice strained. What do you mean? She saw him gulp. No explanation came. Leaning forward, she found his jawline, the pronounced cheekbones, his hair, every bit as wild and soft to the touch as it had looked. Finally, he leaned his head into her touch, gently nuzzling her fingers. It came from a fight, he murmured. Just another pointless fight. All of them. His eyes lingered on her lips again. She hesitated. When he still didn't move, Scarlet leaned forward and kissed him, softly, just once. Barely able to breathe around her hammering heart, Scarlet drew back enough for warm air to slip between them, and Wolf dissolved before her, a resigned sigh brushing against her mouth. Then he was pulling her toward him and bundling her up in his arms. Scarlet gasped as Wolf buried one hand into her mess of curls and kissed her back. Book 3. Oh, Grandmother, what terribly big teeth you have. Chapter 24. Hide. Cinder said the words softly, tenderly, a breathy plea ending in the soft, careful D. Hide. Rampian, hide. Hide, Rampian. Disappear. Fade away. You do not exist. You cannot be seen. She was sitting cross-legged on her bunk in the dark, envisioning the ship that surrounded her. The steel walls, the churning engine, the screws and soldered seals that held everything together, the computer mainframe, the thick glass of the cockpit windows, the closed exit ramp in the cargo bay, the podship dock beneath her feet. Then she imagined it invisible, swimming past radars, and the radars remaining silent, dissolving into blackness under the watchful eye of satellite stations, gracefully dancing between all the other ships that cluttered the solar system, drawing no attention, not existing. Her vertebrae tingled, beginning at the top of her neck and running down to her tailbone. A warmth radiated outward, filling every muscle and every joint, seeping through her fingers and back into her knees, recirculating. She released the air from her lungs, let her muscles release with her breath, and started the chant again. Hide, Rampian, Rampian, hide, hide. Is it working? Her eyes popped open. In the darkness, all she could see were pinpoints of stars beyond her window. They were on the side of Earth opposite from the sun, leaving the ship cloaked in shadow and the vastness of space. Cloaked, hiding, invisible. "Good question," she said, turning her attention up toward the ceiling, as had already become habit, even though she knew it was ridiculous. Echo was not some spot on the ceiling, was not even the speakers that projected her chipper voice. She was every computer wire, every chip, every system. She was everything but the steel and bolts holding the ship together. It was a little disconcerting. "I have no idea what I'm doing," Cinder said. She glanced out the window. There were no ships visible through the small portal, only stars and stars and stars. In the distance, a vague purple haze, perhaps some gas left off a tail of a comet. "Do you feel any different?" Something rumbled beneath her feet, soft as a kitten's purr. It reminded her of the way Eco's fan used to spin extra fast when she was processing information. "No," Eco said after a minute, and the thrumming died down. Still gargantuan. Cinder untucked her legs, allowing blood back into her foot. "That's what worries me. I feel like it shouldn't be this easy. The entire Commonwealth military is after us. For all we know, they could have elicited the help of other Union militaries by this point, too, not to mention lunars and bounty hunters. How many ships have you picked up on our radar?"
71.
"Right. And not one of them noticed us or got suspicious. Does that seem possible? Maybe what you're doing is working after all. Maybe you're a natural at this lunar thing." Cinder shook her head, forgetting that Eco couldn't see her. She wanted to believe she was having an effect, but it felt wrong. Lunars had control over bioelectricity, not radio waves. She had a suspicious feeling that all this chanting and visualizing was an enormous waste of time, which left the question, why hadn't they been spotted yet?
"Cinder, how long will I have to stay like this?"
Cinder sighed. "I don't know. Until we can install another auto control system, and until you find me a new body."
"That too." She rubbed her hands together. The subtle warmth that had filled up her right fingers had faded, and for once they were colder than the hard metal ones.
"I don't like being a ship. It's awful." There was a distinct whine in Eco's tone. "It makes me feel less alive than ever."
Falling back on her cot, Cinder studied the black shadows of the bunk. She knew exactly how Eco felt. For the brief time she'd been acting as the auto-control system herself, it had seemed like her brain was being stretched in every direction, like she'd lost touch with her physical body, had detached her brain, and was hovering in a non-existent space between the real and the digital. Pity swelled up in her for Eco, who had never wanted anything but to become more human.